Welcome to Mumfessions, the podcast that will normalise all of the challenges of motherhood. I'm Laura Guckian, life coach, founder of Mind Mommy Coaching, and most importantly, mum of three. This podcast is unlike any other motherhood podcast because you will be my guests. Each week, I will invite you to share your mumfession. A mumfession is any experience or feeling you are having as a mum, but you're too afraid to share. The stuff that makes you feel like you're alone or that you're doing this whole motherhood thing wrong. I want to first of all help you recognize you are not alone and you are not doing it wrong. But most importantly, give you the tools you need to navigate it. This is the emotional village that you need. To make sure you don't miss any other episodes of Mumfessions, please hit the follow or subscribe button on whatever platform you are listening. And if you would like extra tools, please go and visit my Instagram page, Mind Mommy Coaching. Coming up this week, when there's such a lack of awareness and understanding about what autism is, it's hard. And I think it's important for me to say that.
I do believe that gender roles are completely imbalanced in parenting.
I think the mental load for mums is the price we pay for wanting to do the best for our children and the constant thinking, what if? It's reached the point several times that I've been so overwhelmed that I've lost my temper and yelled at my daughter for having accidents, for which I have experienced immense guilt. All of these things happening, and it looks like it's seamless. And it might be, and it might not be. Today's episode is sponsored by Rescue Remedy, a brand that has been trusted for over 80 years. Rescue Remedy provides comfort and reassurance to calm and support your emotional balance during some of the more challenging days of motherhood, a must-have for any busy mum. Let's begin today's episode, like we do with every episode, with a little mumfession from me. Today is probably less about a mumfession. It's probably more about my experience as a mum. It's something I'm asked about quite a lot. I probably don't talk about it a lot, particularly on my Instagram page. And I know that many of my clients are in a similar situation to me. And maybe it's why they seek my support. I don't know. So let's talk about it today. Let me share something that I really don't talk enough about. What does it feel like to be an autistic mum raising autistic children? In a nutshell, it's really bloody hard. It's really, really, really hard. And I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Being an autistic woman and growing up being autistic, but not knowing you're autistic and finding out at 37 is really tough. Raising autistic children when there is literally zero support from the government, certainly not in Ireland, I'm assuming it's the same in the UK, when there's such a lack of awareness and understanding about what autism is, it's hard. It's hard. And I think it's important for me to say that because I think in the past when I've spoken about this, I tend to talk about the positive elements, which I'll talk about in a minute. But I also think it's important for me to say it's hard because I know there are women and men and parents across the country that are doing this. And nobody gets how hard it is. Nobody understands that by the time we've done the school run, we have battled many battles that I have had to seriously think about how I cut the toast and what's the impact going to be if I cut it wrong. That I have had to do so many things to ensure that my children are comfortable and happy that parents of kids who are not autistic don't even have to think about. And I won't even go into what those challenges are, but it's bloody hard. Bloody hard, and it gets me most days. It makes me very angry. It makes me sad. It makes me feel alone because I don't really see many other autistic families like ours, particularly where the parents know they're autistic. And by the way, side note, they are now saying that autism can be genetic. I believe it is. And I believe there are a lot of mothers like me out there who are raising autistic children who may be autistic themselves and have no idea. And the reason I'm sure of that is because I have a little statistic to share with you about some of my past clients. And it's quite an interesting statistic that through the work they did with me, they learned a little bit more about themselves. They, I suppose, had questions that they needed answered. And when they finished working with me, they sought an assessment for either ADHD or autism. And this is just from the clients who came back to me. 30% of my past clients have told me they've now learned they're autistic or they've ADHD. That's huge, girls. That is huge. And why is that important? Because these women were finding motherhood particularly hard. What were they finding particularly hard? That sense of lack of control, lack of routine, all of the things that as an autistic woman, I need. If I don't have control, if I don't have routine, I can't function. It's not that I'm just a little bit, oh, that's my preference. The wheels come off, girls. I can't function. And when I have routine and structure, I'm thriving. That's what I teach my clients. Clients come to me going, I want to have more of a sense of being in control. I want to get organized. I want to get time back in my day. I'm sick of feeling overwhelmed, exhausted. I want to get unstuck. Great, let's do it. And that's what, I'm an expert in it because I have lived my entire life as an autistic little girl, as a teenager, as a young woman, striving to take control in a world that is just simply not built for us. And the only way as an autistic woman I can feel okay and reduce that anxiety that I feel 24/7. And that's another thing to talk about. You know, I hear anxiety being spoken about a lot and people saying they're experiencing anxiety and how to manage it. And I get it, right? But what you might not be aware of if you're autistic, and I suppose I'm talking about my experience of being autistic, because again, autism is a massive spectrum. And even within my house, we have a full range of autism. There are people who are autistic and have huge needs, additional needs. But for me, all I can describe is my life is just a constant low-level anxiety. You know, when people describe fight or flight, I think I'm constantly in fight or flight. My brain constantly has about 10 tabs open. And I was only talking to an autistic friend recently, and she said, do you realize that someone who isn't autistic can watch a movie and just watch it? And I didn't, I was like, I don't understand. Are they not thinking about five other things? She said, no. So why am I sharing all of this? Because that's the bloody hard reality of it for me. It's really bloody hard. And if you, like me, are out there navigating it, I see you, it's hard. But here's the positives of it. And this is where, even if you're not autistic, it's going to be something you can relate to. Finding out that I'm autistic at 37 was the best thing that ever happened to me. It was probably the best moment in my life because I suddenly had a level of self-compassion, forgiveness, clarity. I suddenly understood why certain things felt hard. I suddenly realized it's not just you, Laura. You're not just being awkward. You're not just Monica Geller, who, by the way, I believe Monica Geller is clearly autistic. It was like, wow, you're autistic and you went through your whole life seeking support since when I was a teenager, like being a teenager riddled with anxiety, you know, my 20s seeking support, being in a psychiatric hospital for 2 months with a multidisciplinary team and nobody twigged I was autistic. Like to realize that at 37 was mind blowing. And if you think about it, it's kind of similar to what happens when we become mums. That when we become mums, we fundamentally change. We find our new identity. It's really hard at the start. We feel a bit lost. We don't know who we are anymore. We don't know what we want. We don't know what we need. And then we suddenly realize we're going through matrescence. And there's a bit of, oh, I feel seen and heard now. There's a name for this. This is why I'm feeling like this. And then we find our new identity and we lean into it. We relax into it. We realize we have changed, but it's okay. And for me, going through motherhood and finding out I'm autistic at the same time was just this massive, it's like the world stopped and it was like, oh my goodness, this is who you are, Laura. There's a reason you were never, ever broken. Someone once said to me, or I think I saw this somewhere, that I think I was always a zebra, but feeling like I was kind of this horse that wasn't right. I was wondering why I was a horse with stripes on me and why I didn't look like all the other horses. And now I've just realized I'm a zebra and that's fine. So why am I sharing this with you again? Back to the point, I guess it's to first of all point out you don't always know what someone's going through. I don't talk about this a lot and probably because I know there are families that are navigating autism with far more additional needs than my family. Now my little boy can't talk. He might never talk. He's coming on slowly. He has lots of needs and that for a long time broke my heart. I have now accepted that. So there's a lot of stuff that happens behind the scenes that you might not know is happening. So if you were looking at someone else another mother and you're thinking, oh, it all looks great for them. How come they're doing this? They're not. There's days where I sob about this because it's so hard, but I just don't talk about it. I have my own way of dealing with it. So that's the first thing. And the second thing is, even if you're not autistic or you don't have autistic kids, knowing your identity and knowing who you are and what you need and want and owning it and giving yourself permission to just be you and unmasking and letting yourself be whoever you need and want to be is so powerful. And it's relevant for every single mother listening, because most of you are going through matrescence. So your values are changing, your belief systems are changing. You know, there's a lot going on. You are changing as a person. You're feeling a bit lost. It's a bit scary. You don't know what's going on. You will come through this process and you will be a new you, a better you. And it's great. And I think in motherhood, we have to just lean into what we need and want and do it with permission and not compare, because I don't really have another family to compare with. Maybe that's why I've ditched the shoulds. Maybe that's why I never feel like I'm doing anything wrong, because I was forced very abruptly to unlearn all of the rules of life and motherhood when I realized my little boy was autistic, couldn't talk. I suddenly realized the rules don't apply to us anymore. And in a way, the pressure just lifted from me. It was actually a really good thing, because we're not following the rules because they don't apply to us. There's no more milestones for us. There's no more normal. I hate that word normal. Like, we just do whatever we need and want as a family. And it's absolutely wonderful. We're in our little autistic bubble. We have created a home that is exactly what we need and want, that is just safe from a world that's not built for us. And I will advocate for them till the day I die. Like, I will be the best possible mother for them. Do I make homemade organic meals all the time? No. Do I do arts and crafts? No. Am I always present with them? No. Do I enjoy playing with them? Not all the time. Am I the mother that is making the homemade like Halloween costumes? No, I'm not. But my goodness, I'm going to fight for them and make sure they grow up knowing who they are, that they understand there's nothing wrong with them, and that they are given the tools they need to navigate a world that's not built for them. And that is why I'm a bloody amazing mother. So I want to share that as well, because being, I don't even want to say an amazing mother or good mom, I hate those terms, but I am the best mom I can be for those reasons. I don't do the stuff that I thought a good mom should do. You will do the stuff you need to be a good mom. So I hope that makes sense. But I hope you can take from that, that whatever you're navigating in your life, whether that's autism, whether that's, I don't know, navigating a separation with your partner, maybe you're a new mom, maybe your friendships have fallen apart, I don't know, that whatever you're going through, it's okay. And you just do whatever you need to do, because your life and your circumstances are unique to you. There is no one else out there exactly like you. So there are no shoulds. There are no rules. You create your own rules and do whatever you need to be a happy mother. And that is all I want you to take from this. Girls, I am so excited to finally share some big news with you. I have been working really, really hard behind the scenes to create something amazing for you. If you are feeling exhausted, overwhelmed, like you have no idea who you are anymore, if you are utterly fed up with trying to constantly juggle it all, if you want to stop feeling guilty for every move you make in motherhood, if you want to feel happier, calmer, and more in control, but are so stuck you don't know where to begin, then I have the best news for you. Introducing The Village by Mind Mommy Coaching, an online resource that will make you feel seen, heard, and supported 365 days a year. Imagine this. You've got the Mind Mommy Coaching Academy at your fingertips, which gives you the proven tools and strategies to be a happier mum, available to learn in your own time, at your own pace. And guess what? You can engage with a community of like-minded mums 24/7. As a Village member, you will also have access to a range of monthly exclusive online events and classes hosted by me and other experts, all designed to help you navigate the challenges of motherhood. And you also get monthly meetups with all the amazing moms you're going to meet in The Village. So in the absence of The Village, let this be your village. I can't wait to welcome you and get you unstuck. To join The Village, please click the link in the podcast description or visit my Instagram page, Mind Mommy Coaching. Okay, so remember I said at the start of this season that we might be doing things a little bit differently? Today is an example. I have a mumfession here that I am going to read out because this mum didn't want to share her voice, which is totally fine. So I am going to read it out and then let's talk about it because I think this one is definitely something that most of us can relate to. So let's get into it. My mumfession is that I have seriously struggled with potty training my almost 3.5-year-old daughter, and we have had repeated potty regressions over the past 6+ months. I see you. It's me too. I hear this one. It's reached the point several times that I've been so overwhelmed that I've lost my temper and yelled at my daughter for having accidents, for which I have experienced immense guilt. Oh my goodness. To top it off, I am currently pregnant with our second child. My daughter doesn't know yet. Oh my goodness. And I've been having a lot of thoughts recently about not being cut out for motherhood and feeling completely terrified at the thought of having a second child. It feels like we are surrounded by parents of children who nailed potty training. And I have blamed myself every step of the way over how my daughter continues to struggle with it. Oh my, okay, where do we begin with this one? So even if you're not potty training now and we take the potty training out of it, this is a really key one because this is about the milestones and the shoulds and how our children should be developing and performing. And when we're not doing that, well, oh my goodness, we're the worst mothers in the world. But just on the potty training, can we just for a second recognize that not every child potty trains in 3 days. Some of them do. That's amazing. If you look at my 3 children, my eldest, like at 2.5, he literally potty trained in 3 days. It shocked me, right? My second child, Alex, so he's 4 now. He's autistic. And by the way, Leo is also autistic and he potty trained in 3 days. He had no developmental delays. He met every milestone. Alex is 4. Honestly, we didn't start potty training him till he was almost 4. I'd say it took 6 months. 6 months with the help of an OT, with everyone. And baby Anna, who's 2.5, well, that is still very much so a work in progress. And I think I've shared on my Instagram page how that just wasn't happening and how I surrendered and was like, to hell with this. We're giving up. We'll try again. And I didn't feel any guilt about it. So can we just put it out there that every child is different? For this particular mumfession, again, it's that sense of why am I seeing other families that are doing it so well? Like everywhere I look, everyone's potty training their children in 3 days. And I think this is important because if you take potty training out of it, I think it's relative to all of the situations in motherhood where sometimes we only see the positives. We see the child who's eating the perfectly balanced lunch at My Children Don't Eat. We see the potty training in 3 days. We see all of these things happening and it looks like it's seamless. And it might be and it might not be. What we don't see or very rarely see is the mothers like me who come out and say, yeah, trying to potty train my daughter for 6 weeks, not happening. I'm giving up. This is really hard. So let's normalize that every child goes at their own pace and it is not a reflection of your ability as a mum. Your child not potty training is not a reflection on your ability as a mum. That's the first thing. The second thing I heard here was that guilt around losing your temper with your daughter. We've spoken about this before. I don't want you to feel any guilt or shame around that. Why is this happening? So from what you've said, I imagine it's happening for a few reasons. One, you're probably exhausted. You've said there you're pregnant. So you're exhausted, right? Your reserves are probably depleted. When our reserves are depleted, we know this from previous episodes. I spoke a lot about it in season one. If you haven't listened, go back. It's really, really powerful. And we've some really good episodes there about our reserves. When your reserves are depleted, everything's harder. Our capacity is reduced. We're more likely to get cross with our kids. So that's happening on the backdrop of this extreme pressure to why isn't she potty training? Why isn't she potty training? Everyone else is potty training. What am I doing wrong? What's she doing wrong? It's just this circus of pressure. So that is why we're going to talk about in a minute what you can maybe do to reduce that. But I think from what you've said, that's what's going on. You're not a terrible mother for losing your temper. It's okay. I just think the honesty in this is lovely because I would love to know if you can relate to this in any way, the potty training or the pressure to meet the milestone seamlessly. Drop me a DM on Mind Mommy Coaching. I want to hear from you, and I will share it then when this airs, because I guarantee there's a lot of mothers out there that feel like this, going, why is my child not doing it as quickly as everyone else? Why did they not walk at this age? Why did they not crawl? I absolutely hated those public health checks where, you know, your child is put on, you know, this kind of graph of where they're performing against. And maybe because I'm out the other side where my children are autistic and I'm like, again, the rules just don't apply here. We're on our own milestones. But it was always for me this pressure of, oh my goodness, what if she's not crawling? What if she's not sitting up? What if this isn't happening? And just let that pressure go, because you're doing your best, okay? So what can you do to try and navigate this? Let's look at the actions. So get out your pen and paper. And if you can relate to any part of this, let's work through it. The first step is, and I spoke about it a minute ago, the pressure. Where's this pressure coming from? Who said that potty training happens effortlessly in 3 days? Who said that? And I'm sure it is valid for lots of children, my first included. But who said that if that doesn't happen, you're doing it wrong? Who said that if you don't follow it to this exact path, you're a bad mother? Who said that? Show them to me. I want to have a chat with them, because the pressure is too much. You are trying to potty train her while being pregnant, while being completely exhausted. Just figure out where this pressure came from. Is it a pressure you're putting on yourself, or is it a should? Then the second action is, I want to look at your reserves. I'm not even talking about potty training here. I'm not a potty training expert. I am talking about you and your reserves. What can you do to fill up your reserves a little bit? Okay. And again, we spoke about this in detail in season one, but if your reserves are depleted, you are not going to be best placed to support her, no matter what information you get from someone who's an expert in potty training. In order to deliver that and to support her through this, you need to be okay first. So filling up your reserves doesn't always mean rest. It could mean lowering that expectation you're placing on yourself, reducing the pressure, letting go of the shoulds, cutting some corners, turning off that little inner critic that's telling you that you're doing this wrong because she's not potty training. So that's the second thing. And then the third thing is just, is she ready? Like, what do you want to do? Maybe for you, the right thing to do is to pause this for now for a few weeks and come back to it. Like, where is the pressure coming to do it now? Okay. And the fourth thing is, if you feel you do need extra support with it, maybe from a potty training expert, and if you're listening and, you know, it's not potty training for you, it's something else, really ask yourself, do I need expert support? Can I reach out to someone? Because very often with mothers, in my experience, there's two barriers to us supporting our children. There is us, and I mean that in the nicest possible way, but us in the sense that we are depleted. And when we're depleted and our reserves are depleted, we don't have the capacity to reach our full potential as mothers. And the second thing is needing expert support or advice. I think they're the two things as mothers that always hold us back. And in my experience, it's normally the first one. It's ourselves. It's that we're so depleted, we cannot be there the way we need to be for our children. And it's this vicious circle, because the more we're not there, the more we're telling ourselves we're a crap mother. The more we're beating ourselves up, the more those reserves are being depleted in the background, the more we're reaching out for expert support, but we're wondering why it's not happening. It is because we don't have the capacity. And this is not to shame us or put blame on us. This is the total opposite. This is to be compassionate with yourself, to realize you are doing the absolute best you can. And maybe in this example, take the pressure off, stop potty training for a while, and focus on you and building up your reserves, and then come back to it. Because if you're okay, they're okay. And if you're feeling better, then it might just feel a little bit easier. I hope that has helped. And I hope that if anyone is listening, that pressure and expectation to do it a certain way is gone. Because, oh my goodness, there is nothing straightforward about motherhood or milestones or any of those things. And we all do it in our own time, at our own pace. Because remember, we all have very different support. Thank you to Rescue Remedy for supporting this podcast. As a busy mum of three, on the days I need a little extra support, I always reach for Rescue Remedy. Trusted for over 80 years, the formula is the same today as when it was developed more than 80 years ago, with the unique combination of 5 batch original flower essences. Rescue Remedy provides comfort and reassurance to calm and support your emotional balance during the days when your reserves might be running low. And if, like me, you sometimes find it hard to get a full night of sleep, I like to reach for the Rescue Night Range, which contains white chestnut to help switch off from a racing mind and allow for more restful sleep. And Rescue Night is free from sedatives with no side effects or grogginess the next morning. Rescue Remedy is available from health stores and pharmacies nationwide and also in Super Value and Tesco. As we're now halfway through this week's episode, if you think you would like to share your mum fashion with me and get a little bit of support with it, please feel free to email it to mindmommycoaching@gmail.com or come and say hi on my Instagram page at mindmommycoaching.
This is probably quite a controversial one, but I do believe that gender roles are completely imbalanced in parenting. I believe I've spoken to a number of mums about this, and they feel they all feel the same way, that essentially the mum is always the default parent. So the mum is the one who, if the child gets sick, the mum has to come home from work. If there's a problem, the child is sick, it's the mum who has to comfort the child. It's very much an gender imbalance in this. It's one thing that it makes me angry in a relationship, because I feel that it shouldn't be this way.
Right, let's get into this one. It's funny because just prior to playing that, my lovely producer and I were chatting there in the background about gender roles, and I had forgotten that this was one of the mumfessions coming up. And we have to talk about it, girls. We have to talk about it. We're going to kick it off with an insight. So let's back this up with research. Last year, I conducted research among 2,000 mums across Ireland and the UK. And I asked them, did they feel the mental load was equal or unequal with their partner? And 90% of them said it was unequal. That as the mother, they felt like they were carrying the majority of the mental load. So let's just back it up with evidence first. That is the fact. It's something I hear every day from the clients I work with, through women who talk to me on Instagram, that as women, we feel like we are carrying this huge load. Okay, so let's talk about what the hell is the mental load, because it's a word that is used a lot. And I think it can mean different things to different people, but from the work I've done, this is what I believe it to be. I don't necessarily think the mental load for mums is physical things, so our physical to-do list. I think the mental load for mums is the price we pay for wanting to do the best for our children and the constant thinking, what if? I think it is a sign that as mums, we are doing our best. I think it is a sign that we want the best for our children. And I think it is the price we pay. It is the price we pay as mums. And it is less about the physical and it is more about the planning, the prepping. The what needs to happen here? Have I done this? Am I making that appointment in 2 weeks? Are the lunches made? Is this done? It is a never-ending checklist that is happening in our brains and it never stops. And I think that's where we need to differentiate them, because I think there is a big difference from physically doing things, sitting down on your sofa at night, watching TV, and there's 5 tabs open in your brain and you can't switch them off because you're constantly running. That is what I think the mental load is. And it's not to say that dads don't carry it. I'm sure they do. But I also think it's okay to say, yeah, I think in the majority of cases, women do carry it. And it's also interesting, how do we as mothers reduce the mental load? How do we as mothers share the mental load? How do we as mothers recognize it is the price we pay because we are doing our best, but also there's parts of it we don't have to carry? How do we recognize it is the load we carry because we are trying to do our best. I have found a way to reduce my mental load and to share it with my husband, right? Have I completely got it a 50-50 split? No, I haven't, and I'll be honest. But I have definitely done a lot of work to reduce that mental load so that it feels more shared. And that is why when I hear statements like, oh, isn't he great dropping them off to school? Isn't he great minding them? It kind of washes over me. And I think that is why it is hard to hear for some women, because they haven't had the opportunity or they don't have the tools yet to try and share that mental load. So let's get into it, girls. Let's today work through some of those steps to help you reduce that mental load so that the pressure isn't the same, that overwhelm isn't the same, that you feel like you're in control and you have things to do to reduce it. Are we going to get rid of it? No. I'm sorry, I don't have a magic wand. But maybe move it to a place that for your family, it feels like a fairer balance. So let's do it. Get your pen and paper out. Let's do it. Okay, step one to reducing your mental load. What is your mental load? Okay, this looks different to everyone. From the clients and mums I have supported, that looks very different. Is it the mental dialogue that's constantly going on in your head? Is it the to-do list for your home? Is it the to-do list for your career? What is it? Get it on a page. Like, try and describe it, because very often the mental load feels very big because we haven't actually set down pen and paper and said, what actually is my mental load? What is it? So like for me, I know my mental load is more the day to day. It's about, right, like, have I the lunches ready? Have I this prepped? Have I the laundry put away? It's kind of the day to day admin of the home as opposed to my children or my career. So it's important to differentiate. That's the first thing. What is your mental load? The second thing is, what is your physical load? Because I think we need to differentiate between mental load and physical load. So what are the physical things you need to do in a day, right? So if you take my example on step one, where I was talking about the house admin, thinking about the house admin and doing the house admin are two separate things to me. I have a system now where I no longer think about the house admin. I'm only in the doing. So think about it. What are the physical things? Is that physically doing something in the house? Is it physically doing something for the kids? Is it physically making appointments? Is it physically going to the grocery store? Is it, God, I'm very American. Is it physically going to the grocery shop? Is it physically following up or going shopping for clothes for your kids? Think about it. What's your physical load? They're very different. Mental load and physical load are different. The third thing I want you to do is think about, if you could do this differently in your home, what would it look like? So I want you to imagine you have a magic wand and you could somehow reduce your mental load. Remember, we're talking about mental load, the thinking, that when you're sitting on the sofa at night and you're thinking, if you could reduce that, what would that look like? Would you be doing it less in a day? Or if you are doing it, would you be thinking about less things? What would that look like? So for me now, I know I only do it a couple of times a day. And when it happens, I have a system in place that I'll talk about in a minute where I automatically shut down that mental thought because I'm like, you've got it, Laura, you have a plan. We don't have time to think about this. Get it out of your head. So what would it look like in your home? The fourth thing is about anchors. Again, we spoke about this in season one. If you haven't listened, go back and look at it or go on my Instagram page. I have lots of resources around anchors. Think of the top three things that you find hardest to do. And we're just talking about your home for now, right? This could relate to your career. This could relate to your children. Because remember, your mental load is unique to you. I'm just going to give an example of your home. Think of the top three things that add pressure to your life in a day, that when you're doing them, it feels really hard. It feels like you're out of control. It feels like you're not organized. I'll give you an example. It could be getting the kids out the door in the morning. It could be coming in from work in the evening. It could be, I don't know, getting the laundry away or like having a kitchen countertop that's not filled with like dirty plates. So think of them. And what I want you to do is introduce anchors. Okay, I'm going to talk about them very briefly. If you want additional resources on them, go to my Instagram page or go back to season one. An anchor is something that happens at the same time every day. And when you do it, it's like a train line. It opens up another step of the process. So the things that we feel pressure to do or that feel like we've so much to do, that suddenly they just kind of seamlessly happen in our life. We don't have to think about them. It doesn't apply to the mental load. So I'll give you an example. For me, my laundry goes on at the same time every single day, about 8 a.m. Why does it go on at 8 a.m.? Because if it goes on at 8 a.m., that means my kids are dressed because I want their PJs in the wash. So that means my kids are dressed at 8 a.m. So that means they're ready to go out the door. What does it also mean? Then I can start drying it at 9 a.m. That means it's ready to put away at 4 p.m., right? So I'm a bit weird. I tend to try and get my laundry put away before I even pick my kids up from school or childcare. It happens consistently the same time every day, even Saturday and Sunday. What does that mean for me? I no longer have to think of the mental load of laundry. It's like walking. It just happens. So think of an anchor you can place in your life so that it's there. And when you start to think about it again, you don't have to. That's the fourth thing. The final step of this process is when you have this mapped out, sit down with your partner and clearly say, this is what I'm currently thinking about in my mental load. This is the part I would like to hand over to you. How would you feel about that? How can we as a family make this happen? So it's less about that this is your responsibility as a mother. No, no, no. These are things as a family that we need to get done in a day. How can we work together to do them? Let your partner know that it's part of your mental load. They might not know. What my husband and I, we don't have a 50-50 split of the mental load, but it's split. It's split. And I was going to London and it was the night before and I had everything ready. And he came up to me with his phone, almost frantic, going, okay, so what do they bring to lunch? Like, what's in their lunchbox? What happens here? What happens there? And I was like, it's all packed, but yeah, this is what you do. And like, he literally had the phone out frantically typing. And in that moment, I thought, yeah, this is great, because maybe he didn't recognize that that's part of my day every day, that I take 10 minutes a day every day to do that. And not only that, but I have to prep to go, right, in order to make those lunches, I need to make sure I go to the shops to get the stuff, that there's actually five steps before it. So he was frantically there. He took the notes. He was grand. I was in London for 24 hours. The house didn't fall down. But again, that's the importance of communicating with your partner. They might not know the mental load you're carrying. So to sum it up, what is your mental load? How is that different to your physical load? What would that look like in your home if it was all more balanced? How can you introduce some anchors and talk to your partner? I hope that helps. Okay, so summing up everything we spoke about today, I think I'm taking a few things from it. The first is the pressure to meet the milestones for our children and how it feels when we feel like we're not. And how it feels when we're looking at everyone else who seems to be doing it effortlessly, which, by the way, we don't know. We don't know what's going on. And I think if you feel like that, I would really love you to just reduce that pressure, to remove the shoulds. And remember, you are just working on your rule book. And it's kind of linked into what I shared at the start of the episode about my mumfession around being autistic and raising autistic kids and the blessing it gave me of literally not only ditching the rule book, bloody burning it, because the rules never applied to my life. I'm autistic. I live in my own little world and it's fine. And same with my children now. There's no one to compare to. There are no rules. I don't feel any pressure to do anything because we are in our own little bubble that is filled with magical moments and hard moments and challenges. And we just do what we need to do. So ditch your rule book and build your own. Just stop looking at everyone else, because the pressure, I think that is the real theme from today, the pressure to do it a certain way. And the second thing is the mental load and just, yeah, recognizing it is real, that 90% of women feel it. And if you do feel it, I just hope that some of the steps I outlined really can help you to recognize what your mental load is, reduce it, and put a plan in place that you can share with your partner, because, oh my goodness, we are just too busy as mums to be doing it all. And remember the final piece, which I just think gets me quite emotional, that when we think of the mental load for me as a mum is the price I pay for loving them and the price I pay for striving to do the best for them. And actually, by virtue of me having a mental load, to me is evidence that I am absolutely doing my best. And I want you to recognize that for yourself too. Thank you so much for listening. I really hope you found today's episode helpful. Please hit the subscribe or follow button. But most importantly, please share with your friends. Because if you related to any of the topics on today's episode, I promise you they will relate too. You can also leave me a review and a rating wherever you're listening. I'd really appreciate it. If you would like to avail of some additional resources, please visit my Instagram page, Mind Mommy Coaching. I hope you have a wonderful week. And remember, it's not selfish to mind mommy. It's essential. Thank you to Rescue Remedy for supporting this podcast. Mumfessions is an Insanity Studios production. The podcast production manager was Charlotte Mason. The podcast producer was Saffron Mirza. And the podcast production assistant was Abby Sandler. This podcast was recorded in Take 9 Studios in Cork.